3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
All right. Well, hello and welcome back to 3 a.m. Tales of Terror. It's been a minute. Because work was rough, and then school again with the projects and
all of our extracurricular activities.
Yeah, and then just being exhausted on top of that. Like,
I don't know how you're exhausted. You sleep 10 hours a day. You can't even argue the point. He's a cat. Well, he's like 100.
Still. Anyways, we're back. Hopefully, I won't take any more breaks because I've also taken a break from 3 a.m. crime time. I haven't done nothing. So, I feel bad, but hey, life is life. So, Mao, our director, is here. He's ready to go. Anyways, we're going to be talking about the Eden Brown Estate. It's in a Caribbean island, and then the Halifax Citadel, which is in Canada. So
Canada.
All right. So we're going to start off with the Eden Brown Estate. Among the ruins of an old sugarcane plantation in the Caribbean island, Nevis, it is said that the ghost of the plantation daughter is haunting the place after her wedding celebration ended in a bloodbath. Legend holds that the Eden Brown Estate is still haunted by the dead in a history of love and betrayal. If you're a fan of the paranormal, you'll want to hear about the strange and eerie occurrences at Eden Brown Estate in Nevis. Nevis is one of the islands forming the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis in the Caribbean Sea. The name Nevis comes from the Spanish Nuestra Señora de las Nieves, meaning Our Lady of the Snows, perhaps alluding to the clouds covering the top of Nevis Peak. In one of the least populated areas of Nevis, the old Eden Brown Estate is now in ruins. This historic plantation, once a bustling hub of sugar production during colonial times, has long been rumored to be haunted by the ghost of Miss Huggins, haunting the grounds, quote, lamenting her sorrow and searching for her lost love. So a little bit of history about the Eden Brown Estate. The Eden Brown Estate was built in the 1740s and was home to many enslaved Africans who were forced to work on the sugar plantations. When the Huggins family took over, they turned the simple mill into a big sugar plantation and wanted it to grow further. One of the owners, Edward Huggins, was actually brought to court because he treated his slaves so cruelly. He was acquitted, though, by all the white plantation owners' jury. However, this case sparked the movement to free the slaves of Nevis and led to the 1833 Act of Emancipation. Well, that's good. And it led to that. It led to something better. The paranormal activity at Eden Brown Estate has been documented over the years. Visitors and locals have reported hearing unexplained footsteps, voices, and even screams coming from the abandoned buildings. Ghostly apparitions have been spotted walking through the estate, and some have even reported being touched or pushed by an unseen force. The Eden Brown Estate has become known as one of the most haunted locations in the Caribbean.
The tragic love story haunting the plantation. The plantation. The tragic love story haunting the plantation. The ghost story told comes from a tragic love story. The daughter of the notorious Edward Huggins was Julia Huggins, according to this story. She was the heiress to the plantation and was, in 1822, said to marry Walter Maynard. The Maynards were from the neighboring estate, and the two families were openly enemies that didn't get along. Okay, so this is Romeo and Juliet in the Caribbean.
It sounds like it.
Still, their marriage would ensure the Huggins place as power plantation owners, and Edward wanted to impress their wealthy neighbors. For the wedding, he bought furniture from Africa, silverware from China, and imported food from all over the world. The story goes that the groom and Julia's brother, John Huggins, shot and killed each other in a duel. Sometimes John Huggins is said to have been the best man. They were all gathered at the plantation to celebrate the oncoming wedding, and an argument broke out between the two men. It was said that Maynard treated their slaves better and was appalled by Huggins. This is what the argument started as. Or perhaps was it because they argued about a mulatto slave mistress?
I don't know what that means.
She's mixed.
Oh.
Half white, half black.
Oh. So that's a derogatory term.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that. I also didn't know that was in here, so.
I learned that from, I forget her name. Older black lady I used to work with.
Oh.
She told me I needed to find me a nice little mulatto girl to settle down with. And I was like, what do you mean by that? She had to explain it to me. And I was like, oh, she's like, I can say that, honey. I'm black. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, that is the only reason why I know. It's a mixed girl.
Oh, okay.
Today we will never know. If there was true love between Julia and Walter, that is also unknown. But it is said she was left heartbroken and alone, having lost both her fiancé and her brother. Some say the incident made her angry. She isolated herself at her family home of Montravers, and years later, she died as a spinster. The plantation was closed and left to decay, eventually crumbling down to the ruins still left today. There have been many famous sightings and experiences at Eden Brown Estate over the years. Reports talk about seeing the ghosts of Julia, John, and Walter roaming the ruins in the night. According to the tourism board, people have also heard Julia's wailing and seen her on the steps of the great house in her tattered wedding gown she never got to attend. How much of this tragic tale is true, though? It has certainly been used as a tourism tool and by locals to spook each other, but what really happened that day? There are many theories and explanations for the paranormal activity at Eden Brown Estate. In some versions, Julia isn't even mentioned, and it's John who is haunting the place with his bride. This is unlikely, as he already was married to Elizabeth Mary Morton. What is true, though, is that there was true ill will between the two families, as the Maynards were the ones who first made the move against the Huggins when he ordered the flogging of his slaves from Montravers in the public market. So he was just a shitty human. Well, and he owned slaves, so automatically shitty human
being.
Right,
right.
Two, he then flogged and beat and was cruel to the people that he owned.
Yes. So. Nice. But were the Maynards truly any better? It is said that Walter Maynard had a bad reputation among the plantation and slave owners as well, and had been turned down by another woman because she had heard about how bad he treated his slaves. This makes it rather unlikely that the argument started because of the treatment of their slaves. And if the argument was about the beautiful slave girl, it puts a tear in the love story the ghost story is based on. Because what about Julia? Although the ghost story revolves around her, the details around the dates and names are hazy at best. There really was a Julia Huggins, but was she the daughter of John or Peter Thomas Huggins of Mount Ravers? Could this be the woman set to marry a Maynard that turned into the deadly duel?
I read the letter. So long story short,
okay.
The reason why they hated each other mm-hmm. was because, one, Huggins beat his slaves.
Okay.
Which they didn't agree with, obviously.
Right.
Then it turned into he believed that property was stolen from him that then ended up in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So they were vilified. All right. So because he didn't like him, he was assuming that all the bad stuff happening to him mm-hmm. was because of the Huggins family. Like, oh, he knows Got that him. I publicly said that he's, you know, a piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's, you know, trying to get back. They needed a blacksmith at one point in the letter, and the Huggins had said, sorry.
So I cut all the letter out that I read because there was a lot in it that didn't make sense to me. So long story short, there was a letter that Peter Thomas Huggins wrote to his friend Charles Piney that talks about the incident that happened at the Eden Brown Estate, and he just shortened it because
Yeah.
It was a lot.
And then to get back at the Hugginses, Maynard said, hey, your overseer's a thief in the middle of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
To try to take their overseer out to try to ruin the plantation. Like, so it was just a war.
Yeah.
It's a Romeo and Juliet. It's a Hatfields and McCoys-esque.
Got it.
These families hate each other, so now they're doing everything in their power to take jabs and
But it wasn't just based on the way that they treated their slaves. It seems like there was a whole lot of other stuff that made them not great people.
Yeah, and they used the marriage of the kids to be like, hey,
yeah,
let's not hate each other. Cool, great.
And then
they still hated each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Whether a true story or just a local legend, the story about the Eden Brown Estate is a fascinating and eerie location that offers a glimpse into the dark history of the Caribbean plantations, which are said to be the worst plantations in the world to work at.
Oh. So, like, not just, like, not, like, no. Southern.
No, no. They're saying that of all plantations that had slavery,
mm-hmm.
the Caribbeans were the worst of the worst. They would literally work you till you died and be like, oh, well, okay. Mm. If it is Julia or someone else, the ghost of the old sugar plantations seem to linger even after the great house crumbles to dust.
Nice. So I guess we'll never, you know, really know probably what all actually happened, but it does seem as though that family treated their slaves poorly and maybe possibly got a little bit of what was coming to them. So
definitely seems like it.
Yeah. So, all right. So now we're going to move on. Oh, I got my information for Eden Brown Estate from moonmausoleum.com. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the Halifax Citadel, which is located in Nova Scotia, Canada. Or Canananada.
Yeah, I know exactly where this is at.
Oh, yeah, because you've been there. Because Nova Scotia is... I just said that like I'm from there.
Nova Scotia. Halifax
it's
is
straight
where
up, ain't it?
Yeah, it's straight above Maine. Halifax mm-hmm. is where my grandparents lived.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Great-grandparents.
Did they... Okay.
Nana. So, great-grandfather, town baker.
Yes, 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 I know the story.
Yeah, but they don't, obviously.
That's true.
We're on a podcast, jackass. Great-grandfather was the town baker.
Mm-hmm.
Great-grandmother was, I believe, a nurse.
I think that's right.
I think. I don't know. The only time I met her, I was like 13. She was in an assisted living place. She was like 100 and something odd years old.
God.
I was 13. She had dementia. She thought I was Bobby.
Oh, okay.
Because every time I saw her, she'd be like, hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
Because she thought I was her grandson, not her great-grandson.
Right, right.
And in fairness, me and Bobby did look the exact same at the age of 13, in fairness. So, it is a fishing town.
Mm-hmm.
Oysters, fish, crabs.
Yes.
That's all they do. Super small, can't get in the water because of harsh tides, sharks, things like that.
Hmm.
The beaches are not pretty. It's like Maine. It's like being off the coast of Maine.
Oh, it's I've just never been to Maine, so.
Okay, well, the coast of Maine's the same way. It's all seashells, hard rock. It's not beautiful yeah. sands.
Like Carolina Beach?
pretty much. No, I would say that Carolina Beach is a lot nicer than Maine.
I mean, yes, but it for is, a while there, it was pretty shelly.
The coast of Halifax in Nova Scotia is utilitarian for travel goods fishing.
Yeah. Okay.
It is not a... I'm going to go there on vacation.
Right.
Nice lighthouses, though.
I mean, I'm sure.
I've been here.
That's good. That's good.
I have pictures.
That's good. He's such a dick. Okay, so anyways, Halifax Citadel. Halifax is a charming maritime city in Nova Scotia, Canada. Why can I not say Nova Scotia like normal? I have to say it like I'm from
Nova
there.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. Okay, anyways, not trying to make fun of anybody, but...
Yeah, we are.
It's brimming with spooky historical legends. Ghost stories are often laced with tragedy, and nowhere is that more true than the Halifax Citadel and Halifax itself, where the dead roam amongst the living. The Halifax Citadel is a National Historic Site. Four fortifications have been constructed on Citadel Hill since the British founded the city in 1749 and are often referred to as Fort George. Only the third fort, which was built between 1749 and 1800, was officially named Fort George after King George III. While Citadel Hill was never attacked, the Citadel is significant in its defense of the Halifax Harbor and the Royal Navy Dockyard. The British founded Halifax to act as a counterbalance to the French stronghold of Louisbourg, which was returned to French control the previous year by the 1748 Treaty of Aix-la-Chapelle. Sure. Edward Cornwallis, the appointed governor, arrived on June 21, 1749, to settle Halifax. He traveled to Halifax and was followed by 13 transports that carried about 2,000 settlers. Halifax was a strategic city during the next decade and the ongoing Anglo-French rivalry in the region. The British had recruited Protestant settlers from Europe and built fortifications to protect them from raids by the French, colonial Acadians, and allies from the Wabanaki Confederacy. The infamous Father Le Loutre's War, right? Loutre's War?
Sounds right.
Okay. 1749 to 1755. Began when Edward Cornwallis, appointed the governor, arrived on June 21st, 1749, to settle Halifax.
The current star-shaped Halifax Citadel Fort was a massive masonry construction designed to protect against a land or water-based attack from the United States. They never suspect the air.
What?
Oh, wait, we're in 1800s. Airplanes haven't been invented yet.
That is true.
And completed in 1858, the star-shaped structure was purposely designed to give many lines of fire from the defenders. A few portions of the hill were built with tunnels, which could be provided with explosives and detonated from the forts. The British forces enhanced Fort George armaments by using heavier and more accurate long-range artillery. By the end of the 19th century, the role of the Halifax Citadel changed to a command center for other harbor defenses and to provide barrack accommodations. During the Second World War, the role of Halifax Citadel was to provide temporary accommodations, signaling, and coordination points for the city's aircraft defenses during the war. Today, Parks Canada operates the Citadel as the Halifax Citadel National Historical Site of Canada. The fort has been restored to its appearance as it was in the Victorian era. For many years, a set of military gallows with a flogging post stood in the center of the Citadel parade grounds. In 1935, Citadel Hill was designated a National Historic Landmark, but showed signs of decay. Some Halifax downtown businesses suggested demolishing the fort and using the space for parking and development.
Wow, that is... Let's just get rid of the historic site and make it a parking lot.
Well, yeah, one makes you money.
Oh my god.
That's how they look at it.
Well, yeah. Also, every time I hear Citadel, I always think of Mad Max, right? Cuz
yes. Mad Max Fury Road, that is the Citadel.
Okay, so anyways, restoration of the Halifax Citadel. Thankfully, the historic Halifax Citadel was recognized for its worth. See, the historical significance, significance and the tourism potential led to its preservation and gradual restoration. In 1956, the site was partially restored and opened for business as a Halifax Army Museum. It was home for the Nova Scotia Museum and the Maritime Museum of the Atlantic. Parks Canada fully restored the famous fort to its full grandeur in the 1990s. It was a common practice for the restoration workers to leave dated coins in the mortar or under replaced stone walls. The coins were a marker of what areas had been worked on and when. That's neat. Today, the site is still managed by Parks Canada. The Halifax Citadel is one of the most visited National Historic Sites in Atlantic Canada. The grounds of the Citadel are open to the public year-round, from fall to spring,
From the spring to fall.
Thank you. From the spring to fall, Living History Programs features Jesus Christ. Hold on. From the spring to fall, Living History Programs feature animators portraying the 78th Highland Regiment stationed in Halifax from 1869 to 1871, the 78th Highlanders Pipe Band, the 3rd Brigade, the 3rd Brigade of the Royal Artillery and tradespeople. Halifax Citadel sees up to 200,000 visitors and tourists annually.
I'll have to ask Mom if we visited there when I was a kid, because I don't really remember a lot of that trip.
Also, we are getting into the ghosts that haunt this place. There was just a lot of history that I thought was cool, so you know how it goes. But there are ghosts that haunt this place. We're getting there.
No, we're just going to tell you about a history museum, and then that's it. It's not actually haunted. Yeah.
So.
The Halifax Citadel Ghost Tour. One significant attraction the Citadel offers is a year-round, daily ceremonial firing of the noon gun, a reminder of the fort's role in the city's defenses. The best attraction for many people are the ghost tours offered by the staff at Halifax Citadel. A costumed guide leads you through a 70-minute walk, weaving stories intended to keep you awake all night. Be prepared to be spooked. You meet the guide on the drawbridge at the main gate and are led by candlelight, ooh, spooky, through tunnels and prison sites and hear true tales of many unexplained events in their real locations.
It's the 70-minute walk that gets me, because I'm like, damn, that's a long walk. But I guess you're moving. You're probably not, like, walking.
A 70?
70-minute. That's a long walk. That's a long time on your feet.
I know. Imagine if I did that, like, I don't know, every day.
I know. I don't, so. That's a long walk.
I sent you a screenshot of how many steps I had taken before 10 a.m., and it was 4 miles.
Yeah, I know. And I had taken, like, 1,100 steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
There are about 40 documented sightings of ghosts at the Halifax Citadel. The Grey Lady. A spirit said to forever wander the grounds, mourning her lost love and bearing the scent of roses. She wanders the floor of the Cavalier Building, wearing a 19th century dress and is still seen to this day. A guard was stationed overlooking the second floor balcony and saw a woman pass on the veranda beneath him and disappear around the corner. She is believed to be Miss Cassie Allen and was engaged to a soldier stationed at the Citadel, but on her wedding day, when she waited at the altar on November 14th, 1900, he never arrived. The carriage driver arrived to pick up the groom, only to discover that he had shot himself. He believed that was the only way to conceal his past. The driver went to the church to break the sad news to the bride. She became hysterical and found the truth too hard to accept. Her spirit still searches the grounds for him. Officer Edward, the groom who committed suicide, is said to haunt the area near his barracks. The most vivid occurrence of the Grey Lady being spotted was when an employee had to sit in a certain chair to greet guests. When she arrived, he saw her and thought that she was alive. He rose from the chair to greet her, but then she was gone. She was spotted a few more times, always wearing the same dress, and disappeared before he had a chance to talk to her.
Mm-mm. I mean, if you didn't want to get married, all you had to do was say no. You had to go and kill yourself.
He was concealing his past, so whatever that is. I don't know what that means,
yeah. But still, ooh. He still could have just said no.
That's what I should have done.
Whoa! Wow. There's also a ghost lighting a pipe. Brunswick Street is across from the Citadel Hill and boasts its own ghost story. According to a newspaper titled The Acadian Recorder, dated December 16th, 1867, a ghost who was an imposing height of about 12 to 16 feet was spotted walking from Citadel Hill to Brunswick Street. He wore a British Army uniform and paused to lean over a lamppost and light his pipe. A local Halifax police officer chased the giant apparition, who vanished into a Brunswick Street window. I am not chasing a 16-foot apparition. I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not running in the same direction as...
Well, the cop probably wanted to talk to the guy, because I would, if I saw somebody that was walking around with 16 foot tall, I'd be like, let me go have a conversation.
I don't know. You also have the murdered soldier. A murdered soldier tragically fell down a well. His remains were discovered centuries later. In 1782, two young officers were patrolling the grounds when they came upon an unsavory character. The tall figure wore Tom hunting clothes and was tall and gaunt. One of the officers recognized him as his brother. A while later, his worst fears were confirmed when a letter arrived. His brother had died in a hunting accident at the exact same time he saw the spirit. That's crazy. There's also the lady in the ditch. Sorry, the lady of the ditch. A woman was found dead at the bottom of the ditch. Her remains were never identified. At 4 a.m. in the morning, a sentry observed that something had fallen into the ditch and was not moving. Upon closer observation, he realized it was a woman in a tattered gray dress who had fallen tragically to her death from the top of the wall with a slash across her throat. Now she haunts the Citadel, and visitors have reported spotting her in the Cavalier Building. So that's the same. Is that the same woman?
No.
The gray lady?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
The Tale of the Missing One-Armed Sergeant. There is a well on the northern side of the inner citadel, behind a closed, locked door in casemate 18. The unfortunate sergeant went by the name of O'Reilly, and his job was to guard the regimental flags in battle. That was a hard job. He was responsible for a young private named Billy, and often gave him a hard time, believing it would teach him some responsibility. That turned out to not be the case. A fire erupted at 3 in the morning at the North Barrack. The barracks were constructed from resinous pine lumber. No one noticed when the sergeant vanished, but the fire consumed the entire building. The next morning, when roll call was taken, Billy and O'Reilly were gone. In the winter of 1851, a soldier drew water from the well at casement 18. To the soldier's horror, a severed arm was found in the bucket from the well. The body of Sergeant O'Reilly was finally recovered. The water was putrefied. The rest of his body was brought up. He had been shot in the back by Billy, who deserted. To this day, his ghost is seen in the well standing at attention, sometimes carrying his missing arm.
Carrying his missing arm.
Oh, visitors God. And staff have noticed orbs of light passing through walls and doors, shadowy figures that vanish when approached, and cold spots that set off motion detectors. The prison cells of the fort are very spooky. People have heard chains dragging across stone floors and whispers in the dark. The grim history of the Halifax Citadel is full of loss and bloodshed, never to be forgotten, where the dead refuse to remain quiet. It is no wonder the Citadel is so haunted. The horrors of the First and Second World Wars are over, but their tragedies and the battles live on in the Halifax Citadel. The ghost stories will live on in our imagination and in our hearts.
So, just carrying his one arm. He's carrying a severed arm. I
want to know how he lost his arm.
That too. I don't know.
Because if Billy Boy shot him in the back, unless it was when he fell down the well and he like tried to grab something.
Maybe it broke. And it ripped his arm off. Yeah. I don't know. So anyways, those are the stories that we have for you. And like I said, I'm going to try and we're going to try and come back. It was a lot. It was a long month. It was a long month. And plus, like, this project was... Okay. So I thought that this project was going to be, like, more in-depth than it actually is. And it's really not. It's not that serious. So...
so what you're saying is wake you up when September ends?
Yeah. But no, you know, we just had... Work was... stressful for a couple of weeks there for both of us, because it was...
I have no help.
He has no help. I had no help. And I had, among other things.
Everybody that works with me quits, man. I don't know why.
So anyways, I'm going to try and get back into it. Keep going. I don't like taking breaks, especially when I said, you know, back when we first started getting back into this again, that I wouldn't, and here we are. So anyways... So those are what we have for you today. Eden Brown Estate, Halifax Citadel. I hope you enjoyed both of those stories. I got my information for Halifax Citadel from ParanormalDailyNews.com. So, but anyways, that's it. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
So, later.
Bye. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the 3 a.m. podcast page. Podcast is plural. You can find pictures and updates on both.
We also now have a Patreon account where you can get ad-free episodes for just $2 a month for both 3 a.m. Tales of Terror and 3 a.m. Crime Time.
If you have any questions or story ideas for us, you can send them to the 3 a.m. podcast page at gmail.com. All of this information will be in the show notes.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. We hope you enjoyed our tales, and remember,
stay terrified.